This is the new home for Cheryl Fritz, 1320 WILS, the only Lansing radio station live in Lansing every morning, live in Lansing every afternoon. Welcome to Fritz and Friends with your host, Cheryl Fritz.
And welcome back to Fritz and Friends. Cheryl Fritz here along with Scott Eckersley producing 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Going out on the phone now to Vern Brown, who is a friend, an attorney, a former dairy farmer, and currently a consultant for international dairy clients. Good evening, Vern. How are you?
I'm good, Cheryl. How are you tonight?
I'm doing very well. When agriculture issues come up in front of me, you're my call. You're the call that I make.
I'm flattered. Thank you so much.
Well, my pleasure, because I know you're going to give us some interesting insight and kind of cut through it all for us. The subject tonight, 9 days ago, Governor Rick Snyder signed his first two bills into law, and they related to turning a formerly voluntary program into state law that allowed farmers to avoid environmental fines for accidental pollution charges. I'm kind of reading from a statement, if they first completed a three-phase environmental process. Now, that's confusing for a lot of people, what I just read. But let's start. I think the best place to start is why this is important to farmers, this legislation.
The short answer is that the previous governor and her administration were real environmental hawks. And they, Granholm came out of the Department of Environmental Quality. She was an attorney. She had the director of environmental quality was another attorney named Steve Chester, who had been sort of in environmental enforcement. And they took it upon themselves to somewhat selectively enforce the environmental regulations of the state, and it sort of played into the ongoing drama between state and federal environmental regulation agencies. So the short point is that Michigan agriculture kind of suffered and was not allowed to grow and flourish as much as it could have been under Granholm. So Governor Snyder's first act was to sort of put everybody on notice that we're open for business in Michigan with agriculture, and we're going to try and make it an agriculture-friendly state again.
And that was no accident, was it, on Governor Snyder's part?
No, I was really pleased to see that he did that. One of Governor Snyder's key people in his administration is a guy named Dan Wyatt, who, for my opinion, is the smartest guy in Lansing right now. Dan's an old friend, a state FFA officer. But Governor Snyder, he thinks that agriculture needs to be a priority in Michigan, especially from a business standpoint. I mean, if you're gonna try and make an impression that Michigan's friendly to business again, agriculture is the best place to start, because agriculture still, I think, is a larger grossing industry than automobiles in the state of Michigan.
Gosh, that's an interesting statistic.
Yeah, I think I'm right about that.
Believe me, I'm not going to question you on that one. Like I said, you're my egg guy, so I trust you. I trust you on that one. The state versus federal law. In reading an article about this, which I forwarded to you as well, just so we had seen some of the same information. The environmentalists have come out and said they're kind of sounding the alarm on this program, and they're alluding to exactly what you just said: state versus federal law. They're going to see if the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, if this state law hasn't violated federal law. Now, explain, if you can, to folks how this works with state and federal law in terms of environmental practices.
It's an age-old fight. You start with this. In the United States, we have two systems of law for every state. We have the federal laws, and each of the 50 states have their own state laws. Oftentimes, those laws collide, and we have to see which one can supersede the other one. So, environmental law has been one of the conflict points from the beginning. Michigan has the oldest environmental protection law in America, and the state. The federal government's always trying to assert their prerogative over state law whenever they can. This case, this particular issue has been litigated lots and lots of times and will continue to be litigated. In fact, there was just another circuit court opinion this week in the Fifth Circuit, sort of expanding on where the federal government can regulate and where they can't.
Sounds like someone's musical in the background, Vern.
Yeah, that's my kids.
Maybe that I can borrow you for just a minute. They're very musical. I'm appreciating that, though.
Yeah, go ahead.
There you go. Now, when we talked about the federal law and state law colliding on environmental issues like this, as you said, this has been a long time fight. So this is not a new point of discussion at this point.
No, not at all. Not at all. It goes back to the 70s when the federal EPA started to, you know, promulgate regulations that collided with state laws. It goes back. The basic theory here goes back to the Interstate Commerce Clause. The federal government thinks that they have the right to regulate anything that might affect interstate commerce, and so that translates into, well, we can regulate anything that affects navigable waters where commerce might occur. And then the question is, well, what's a navigable water? Is it the Great Lakes? Yeah, probably. Is it a river that goes into the Great Lakes? Well, yeah, probably that's true. Well, what about a creek that goes into that river? Well, that's not so clear. Well, what about a swamp that drains into the creek that goes into the river? Well, that's even less clear. And so that's where you get this conflict between the state and the federal governing bodies. Michigan has always been a really, really aggressive state about making sure farms are environmentally sound. Michigan's position was always, well, we don't need federal regulation because our state law allows for zero discharge, and so you can't have any higher standard than that, so there's no reason that federal law should supersede our state law. And the state comes back and they say, yeah, but you don't enforce it right, and there's all these violators out there, and we need to, you know, have more control over it. For a large majority, there's three different federal circuit courts of appeals that have all limited the government's prerogative to extend their regulatory authority. I mean, the big issue for farmers is this: the kind of permits that the EPA wants farmers to get are incredibly expensive. You got to hire a guy that's going to give you a bill for $50,000 to get one of these permits. And that's why Governor Snyder wants to protect the farmers in Michigan and say, whoa, 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 stop there. We'll have a system that's voluntary, that's already, you know, well documented, that it prevents discharges into the waters, and we don't have to have the government forcing our farmers to get $50,000 permits all the time.
In this voluntary program, it's been voluntary, is the Michigan Agriculture Environmental Insurance Program, or the MEEP. The folks get certified as to this, and then they are protected. It offers some protection to the farmers.
Exactly. If you've got the certification that it makes you immune from the civil fines that come if you have some sort of a
they call accidental pollution.
An accidental, right. Like, I mean, a good example is the nuclear reactors in Japan. I mean, nobody ever thought those things would have any trouble at all. But you have an earthquake that's the largest in history, and then all of a sudden you got a problem. It's the same thing with a farm. All these farms are designed to protect, either to keep runoff from going into the streams and creeks and swamps, given, you know, like 25-year flood event or 100-year flood event. Well, what happens if you have a flood event that's the first time in 200 years you had that much water? I mean, should someone have been able to foresee that? Probably not. And so Governor Snyder's putting that into law, says, nope, these guys are protected.
Well, and this, the program was formerly a voluntary program. Now, in order for these protections to come into being, you need to get your ducks in a row and get certified by this MEEP program. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's accurate. Let me point out something else. I think Governor Snyder is really smart, and the state of Michigan has always made the same point. The federal EPA regulates CAFOs, C-A-F-O, confined animal feeding operation, which is 700 or more cows, 2,500 or more pigs, I think, 5,000 chickens, maybe something. It's how many animal units you have that make you a mega farm. But Michigan has always said the large majority of our farms aren't mega farms, and they still have animals, and they have issues with phosphorus and nitrates and all that sort of thing. We need to regulate all the farms, teach all the farmers to have good environmental practices, not just the handful that qualify as a CAFO.
So he's spreading this even wider. I guess logically the thought is that we're even more protected.
I think so, yeah, because if only 5% of your farms are CAFOs, and that's the ones that the Sierra Club and the federal EPA are worried about, what about the 95% that aren't?
Yeah, exactly. And I did take a look at, we've got just a couple of minutes here left, I did take a look at who was involved with the bill signing, and the head of the Senate Agriculture Committee was there, House Agriculture Committee was there, and the gentleman you mentioned earlier, the DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality Director Dan Wyant was there.
Yeah, well, it's a big feather in all their caps, because for the agriculture community, they've been trying to get this done for years. This MEAT program was something that Farm Bureau developed and continued to refine to make it, you know, sort of an industry leader nationwide. And so getting that kind of recognition and actually having it provide financial benefits to farmers, you know, removing them from civil penalties if they're in compliance, that's just a huge step forward for the ag community.
And we've got about 40 seconds left. So in your mind, in your vast experience in the farm community, this is a good thing for the state.
It's excellent. Yeah, it's wonderful. The dairy, Michigan used to be the fifth largest dairy state in the nation. I think now we're eighth.
Okay, and so we need to bring it back.
Yeah, we sure do. It's a step in the right direction, Cheryl.
Well, very good. Vern, thank your daughters for the musical interlude. Very good. And thanks for the great information. I'll be calling you again the next time one of these cross my desk. Thank you so much.
All right, take care, Cheryl. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Vern Brown, he's an attorney, former dairy farmer, and consultant for international dairy clients. We'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after this with Captain Tom Johnstone of the East Lansing Police Department.